You're listening to Muse Live.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Muse Live. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have our guest, Starscream, here. And we're going to be talking about The Man into Episode 7. Now, this was a crazy episode. Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. This is probably going to be one of my favorite episodes that I will rewatch over and over again. Big fan of Bill Burr. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast. He's coming on our podcast next week. Just kidding. No, he's not. I'm a big fan of Bill Burr, so it was exciting to see him on the show again. I loved his character last time, but we really got in-depth with his character, and we really got in-depth with Mando this season, too, because he was talking about how Mando kind of found out that his entire, cult, I would call it, really, because it's more of like an offsect of Mandalore, where they can't remove their helmets, And kind of just start drift away from that cult that he was kind of born into, all his life. And so he spoiler alert for the episode, he removes his helmet, which was crazy to, because we saw IG-11 remove his helmet, but he removed his helmet in front of a bunch of, not only, I think he said living things last season, he removed his helmet in front of a bunch of Imperial officers.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I was expecting like him to remove his helmet in front of, you know, like Baby Yoda, but in front of a bunch of Imperial officers. But of course, none of them lived to tell the tale, except Miggs Mayfeld, which, I'm sorry, but Miggs is such a weird name.
It really is a weird name, quite unique in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, all the Star Wars, like, sometimes you get some names that are like Ben, and then you get like...
Then you just get like something weird.
Ahsoka or Rey or something, you know?
You get like something weird out there.
Yeah. Or I mean Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I mean he's probably my favorite Star Wars character. He and Mando are my two favorite Star Wars characters, and we got a big drop from Disney yesterday, I think it was. I'm going to be uploading a bunch of content to my YouTube channel, which is Marvel Muse. You can check it out there. We post Star Wars content. We have Marvel content, pretty much everything you want. We talked about Tenet a little bit on there, so just a quick plug there. We will be getting reactions to all of the trailers, the Bad Batch, announcements for all of the Marvel and Star Wars TV shows, including an Obi-Wan Kenobi series, a Cassian Andor series, who I loved, by the way. Just so much content. Completely like destroyed DC. DC was like, oh hey, look at us, we got the Batman trailer for 2021 with Robert Pattinson's Batman, which, I mean, I'm excited about. I'm probably going to go see it whenever it comes out. But then Marvel kind of blew it out of the park with trailers for stuff that we had no idea was coming out. I mean, we got Bad Batch. We got a Loki trailer. We got, it's crazy. We got, and we got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I'm really excited about. But what we're here to talk about today is we're here to talk about The Mandalorian. So to start off the episode, as they promised last week, they go over and they recruit Bill Burr's character, Minx Mayfeld. So Mayfeld is working in what looks to be like a shipping graveyard. So he's taking pieces apart, doing prison labor. When Cara Dune comes up and he recruits him, it's a hilarious moment. I mean, it's Bill Burr, so there's going to be a lot of funny parts of this episode. Also going to be a lot of deep parts of the episode. But anyway, so they recruit him. He sees Boba Fett and freaks out for a second, thinking he's Mando, and he's like, oh, sorry, I thought you were someone else. And then Mando comes down the platform and freaks him out. And we also got a first look at, and we got a look at Boba's new armor. He painted it, which there are a lot of mixed feelings about.
I honestly love the new armor.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I think it looks awesome. Like don't get me wrong, the OG Boba, he had a couple scratches on his armor and stuff. It looked cool. The armor, which I loved, that came out of the Sarlacc, it really showed that he'd been through a lot. And now he's got like this awesome armor that's like painted anew. And I think it really reflects his identity just as much as Mando's armor did. When we first saw Mando, his armor was it was beaten up. It was scuffed. You got marks all over it. Same thing as when we first met Boba. And both of them had scuffed up armor, and then when Mando chose to go back for Baby Yoda, his armor transferred from the scuffy armor to this brand new shining, like, silver knight in, armor, almost. And Boba Fett has gone from having the scuffed up armor of his scuffed past to redeeming himself when he goes to save Baby Yoda along with Mando. And so I think the armor kind of reflects their personalities in an arc that not too many people are thinking about.
Oh, and another thing I loved about the armor is, like, I love how they kept the dent in the in Boba's helmet. I love that, how they kept the dent there.
Yeah. I wonder, there was a scrap scene from the Clone Wars series where it would have shown Boba getting in a duel with, I can't remember if it was Hondo or if it was Cad Bane.
I think it was Cad Bane. I saw the deleted scene. It was Cad. I saw the deleted scene.
It was Cad Bane? I had a feeling it was Cad Bane. Then Hondo popped up in my head. It's like, wait, was it him? So there was Cad Bane. Again, it made me thinking, though, because they reckon the armor to be Beskar, so would that have dented his helmet?
A
single blaster bolt, because, I mean, we've seen Mando take shots to his helmet. I guess it depends how pure the Beskar is in Boba's armor. No, because Mando's armor is probably pure Beskar.
It's probably mixed with Durasteel or some other metal.
It is, yeah. It's probably about 50-50, but... I don't know. I'm not sure. They're probably going to retcon how we got the dent in the helmet. I don't know if we're going to hear about it this series or anything, but... going back to this, they also announced an Ahsoka series. So if any of you were worrying about the Thrawn thing and all of that, or how awesome that's going to be, it's going to be pretty awesome. I bet this is kind of a setup for Ahsoka's series. It's also going to be coming out on Disney Plus. So much stuff is happening. There's also a Rogue Squadron movie coming out directed by the daughter of a fighter pilot, which should be pretty awesome. It's Top Gun, but it's Star Wars. So that should be pretty amazing. And getting back to the episode, so we see Boba with his brand new shiny armor. They get Migs on the ship. They explain the situation. Basically, they've got to infiltrate this Empire stronghold to figure out where Moff Gideon's cruiser is, and through that, where Baby Yoda is. So they have to go in, but there has to be two people to drive these like big shipments of like. Some sort of explosive material, or highly flammable material, and they can't go along because it does scan your DNA, the scanners. So Migs should get in fine because he was ex-Imperial, an ex-Imperial sharpshooter, which, as Mando pointed out a little while ago, wasn't saying much. he's going along, so he's safe. That is one out of the two, but out of their entire group there. Of course, the Empire's gonna know Boba Fett, so he can't go.
Yeah, because he's a clone. So yeah, I kind of like that little detail too. They'll recognize me, which is cool.
Absolutely. They might not know which clone it is though.
And
I do like that. Like, I mean, we saw Rex grown up, and it was confirmed that Rex was one of the soldiers who attacked the moon of Endor, which I liked.
That was one of the better retcons, though, of the series.
Oh, absolutely. And so, if you actually see, you can actually see him on the Battle of Endor. If for all of you guys looking, if you're watching the third movie, Return of the Jedi, you can see him on. You can see him in there. He's got this white beard. It's amazing. It's really awesome. And I was hoping that we might run into Rex like this season or next season, but it looks like we might see him on the Ahsoka show. Nothing's confirmed, of course, but it's possible we could see him on the Ahsoka show. Even for just a brief cameo, that would be amazing. So I will be doing a separate thing talking about all of this, talking about what this could mean. But we got to get back to the episode. So we see the only person who can really go along there. They can't do Fennec Shand. She's wanted. They obviously can't do Cara Dune because she's a rebel and a known rebel. So the only person that can go is Mando. So Mando kind of bends the rules because he can't remove his helmet, but he kind of swaps out his helmet for another helmet. So he changes into some Imperial armor, which, I mean, the tank armor is awesome, but it's it's not as cool as Mando's armor. So he puts on his armor. They go along. They get in the ship. They get through everything all right. They take out the troopers, wear their armor. Kind of a, I don't know if it was so much as a nod. It's just a thing they did, but it's similar to the way they did it in the very first Star Wars movie, New Hope, when Han and Luke knock out the stormtroopers and put on their armor. But their armor seems to fit them fine, unlike it did to Luke, because Luke was a little too short for a stormtrooper. And so they get through all right, until they are attacked by a band of pirates.
And then we see Mando try to do the same tactic he does with his Beskar, try to block the attack, incoming attacks, but since it's crappy stormtrooper armor, it breaks off.
Yeah. They go. He's like, oh, I'm fine, because he's so used to wearing his armor at this point. He walks up. I'm fine. He's expecting it to bounce off his shoulder. And
yeah.
The piece just like completely falls off.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. So then it really brings his OP level down a bit, and he's fighting without his Beskar armor now. So it really shows how good he is with that. And we don't see him with the Beskar spear. I would have loved it if he had brought that along, but he didn't.
Oh, and I also like. I loved like the Western with like the samurai kind of feel with the like chase with the juggernaut. It was awesome. It was just like what we had in the Ahsoka episode.
Absolutely, yeah. With like you see like the rural village, and then you come into like the city walls, and inside there it's like a paradise.
Yeah,
they got the lake. They've got all the eastern stuff in there. And then you have like a fight over like a bridge on the water with blades, and it was slow. It wasn't like a fast like fight like we saw on Mustafar.
Yeah.
It was a slow like fight, like almost like a dance like motion, which we would see in like samurai
movies. Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's definitely Western elements and Eastern elements in almost all of these episodes, which I love so much. They're taking like classic things, you know, like you get your spaghetti Westerns, and they're turning it into Star Wars like future.
That's what Star Wars always was, though. It was kind of like a samurai Eastern with the Jedi and stuff, but then Western with stuff like the bounty hunters and people like that, like Boba, Bosk, and other individuals like that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's bringing us right back to what Star Wars used to be in the original trilogy, and then in the prequel trilogy, which I personally was a fan of. And if everybody hadn't been so hard on George Lucas after that, he might never have sold it to J.J. Abrams and Disney. I mean, we wouldn't have gotten the Mandalorians, we wouldn't have gotten that awesome Disney Plus show. So it's good in a way, but we also wouldn't have gotten Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. Which I was not a fan of either of those movies. I am a massive fan of The Mandalorian, so it all worked out all right. In the prequels, it was less so of that. It was more of like a government, and I think the prequels weren't as great if you hadn't ever watched Clone Wars, which I had. Clone Wars really fixed the prequels, and I think The Mandalorian is starting to do that for the final trilogy. It's starting to fix some of the things. We see like the cloning element. And Thrawn, Ahsoka,
yeah.
And Ahsoka, between the Ahsoka show and the Mando show, this should hopefully fix the last trilogy as much as possible. And I'm sure people had a reaction to this the same way when Clone Wars was going on. So I will reserve judgment for the final trilogy before after Mando and Ahsoka hopefully fix it up a bit, fix some of those plot holes. And also, I know this is off topic, but in Rise of Skywalker, when they're riding like space horses up the side of the side of its Star Destroyer, I kept thinking the entire time like they could just tilt it and this could all be over with. They just like tilt the ship a little bit and they all fall off.
Exactly. Yeah,
sorry. Getting back on track.
Like the First Order / New Empire could have had. They had so many opportunities just end the resistance, but yet they didn't take them, and it was very foolish. And like, if you had like someone like Thrawn in there, like that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I do think Thrawn isn't going to be on the side of the Empire anymore, though. I think he's building his own legion.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not just going to have, you know, like good versus bad, which I mean I'm a big fan of, but we're also going to have like this third party here. who's not necessarily good, but he's definitely leaning more towards bad. But it's a third enemy. It's not just the Resistance versus the Empire.
I honestly a third faction in there. Think that that Ron is going to build his own empire to rival Moff Gideon's Imperial Remnant, because, like, if we all know Ron correctly, that's exactly what he'll do.
Yeah, it's almost confirmed that that's what he's going to end up
doing.
I'm sorry, I'm getting way off topic here. The episode. Okay, so we're getting back. So they're in there. They're fighting off the pirates. Mando and Mayfeld end up driving by a village where they are, like, they're a bunch of, like, poor starving people who are, like, under Imperial rule, and they're getting out of the way of them because they see them as Imperials and they're afraid of them. And that's when Mayfeld starts really getting through to Mando and talking about how they're kind of similar, and Mando's like, no, we're not the same. And he really starts talking about it, about how, like, everybody starts to bend the rules when someone important or something important is in danger. And we see Mando doing this. He changes out of his armor. He changes into another set of armor, and then later on this episode, we will see him do something even more, which, if you've probably clicked on the thumbnail that I made, which is, it's not clickbait, because we do see Mando remove his helmet. So, I mean, you already know this because you've seen the thumbnail. I will get more into that later, though. So they arrive at the base after being the only shipment to get back. And then they go in, everybody's hailing them like heroes. It was uncomfortably similar to the scene when Luke Skywalker comes back in the first episode. They all, like, surround his ship, and they're all, like, cheering for him, and they're all like, yeah. So it was uncomfortably similar. It was a little bit weird because most of these stormtroopers and stuff, we get, like, yeehaws from in the final trilogy. We get yeehaws and stuff when they're killing these people. But again, I'm not defending the Empire in any way, shape, or form. But the stormtroopers, they've been brainwashed. These people have been brainwashed and propagandized into thinking that they're saving the world. They think they're on the good guy's side. They're not like, oh, look at me, on a bad guy. Maybe the higher up officers, like
in episode 7, like episode. when they did the cheering thing, it kind of humanized the Empire a bit. It kind of humanized them. It didn't just put them in a bad light like everything else does. It kind of gave them some personality in a way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it humanized the Empire itself, but more of the
stormtroopers themselves. Yes,
people who are, yeah, the Empire itself is an evil group.
Yes, very evil.
Run by people who propagandize their soldiers. So these soldiers, they're not necessarily all bad people. Maybe some of them are. I don't know. But a good portion of them must be just, like, propagandized people who were taught to believe that the Empire was saving them, that they were going to save people. So they go into the Empire to try and save people. And then they end up getting killed in the movies, and everybody goes, whoa! You know? But they're not purely bad people. I think these people were just severely brainwashed. And so we start to see it from everybody's kind of side of view, you know, and everybody's point of view, which was interesting. We go, so we enter the building, Mando and Mayfeld, I'm going to call him Din Djarin, because I think Din Djarin is a cool name. I've been calling him Mando out of habit, but Din Djarin's a cool name. We learned it, like, 2 years ago or something, or a year ago, so I should finally start calling him Din Djarin. So Din and Mayfeld enter the building. They're about to go in. The computer terminal's in the mess hall, or for those of you who don't know military terms, the mess hall is kind of like a cafeteria, a place where they go to eat food. And so the computer's right there. So they go over to the computer, but Mayfeld can't go in. So Mando freaks out. He's like, why can't you go in? And then he points, because his old commanding officer from when he was in the Imperial military is sitting there. So talk about bad luck. Like, geez, out of all the Imperial officers, that one that was his commanding officer is right there. And so Mando has to go in. But the thing is that he has to, the machine has to scan your face for you to be able to get into the mainframe. So Mando tries scanning the helmet, which doesn't work. The computer starts the shutdown, the 10-second shutdown. He then removes his helmet. And before he walks over to the machine, tries to scan the helmet, he, like, starts to, like, take it off, and then he, like, yanks his hand out, like, no. So you can tell that he's really, like, fighting internally between his love for Baby Yoda and the cult that he's kind of been born into, you know? And so he removes his helmet and we see Pedro Pascal's beautiful, handsome face. I'm not a simp. I just think he looks awesome. And it was so, so good. But the entire, like, and he scans his face and he finds the Imperial ship. And then an uncomfortable tension settles over the room as the Imperial officer says, "Hey, Trooper." And you get this uncomfortable tension that you felt in so many Westerns. And it was done masterfully. They're having this conversation. Mayfeld comes over to Mando's rescue, explains that Mando is a little bit slow because he's like a pressure loss in his ship or something. I'm not entirely sure what exactly he said, but basically kind of gave Mando an excuse because Mando's feeling very vulnerable without very exposed without his helmet on.
Oh, and another detail I liked about Mando taking his helmet off is I loved how he looked physically uncomfortable. Like his face, it was just spot on, perfect.
Like amazing. The actor Pedro Pascal, he's an amazing actor, and he can do so many things with his face, which is why I really want him to take off his helmet because he can convey so many emotions. He's so good at that. And he's trained for like years with the staff, which is why I was so excited when he got that spear, because I was like, finally we can get to see this guy go into action, because they don't use the stunt double for that. Like he was in Game of Thrones, which I haven't watched, but he was like amazing. He's amazing with the staff, and
fighting
with the staff.
Another thing I liked about this whole sequence with Val and Hess is I liked how the officer had a southern accent when. We know that, like, most Imperials have, like an English accent a bit. So it was kind of a unique twist. And it's very frightening, like, very terrifying in a way, and very cool.
I'm from the South, so it's a little bit harder for me to discern it. I personally don't have a Southern accent. You can tell when someone really has a Southern accent, but he did have a slight Southern accent. And it was really hard for me to tell. And then rewatching it, I was like, yeah, he does have a Southern accent, because there was something like off about his voice. It's like he's not speaking in Imperial voice, you know, because you're so used to them all being like having that English accent. And then one of them just like it was kind of a shock, because you were like, whoa, he sounds different, you know. And it really added to the tension, because the entire tension, like you feel in Westerns, he sits down, they're all like kind of talking, they're having a conversation, but there's like a slight score. And kudos to the score for this, the composer. It was like an eerie tension, because you knew there was about to be violence, but you're just waiting for it, and it's not quite there yet, and you're waiting wondering when it's going to happen, and then it does happen. But he talks about they start talking about Operation Cinder when they have to go in there, and how. And we really go into Miggs Mayfeld here, and Mayfeld is talking about was it how all of his people were killed when Operation Cinder left. He was the only one left alive in his platoon, which has got to be horrible, horrifying. And he was like, well, it was good for the Empire. It was like the greater good. And he's like, but was it good? Was it good for the men, for their families? Was it good for them? You know, and really showing that that's when he broke off from the Empire, because he couldn't go back in what he'd seen, you know, and he saw through the midst of all the propaganda, he saw the Empire for what it really was, and that was such a powerful and moving moment.
And then
to follow it up, like, this dude wouldn't just couldn't
and then
get
once
it.
We
did not get
then
it
then once
all.
Like we progress more after he's talking about his past with Operation Cinder and about all those lives lost. You get kind of an unexpected turn with Miggs pulling out his blaster for when Valen Hess goes for a toast. He shoots Valen Hess right in the chest, killing him.
And you can nobody was. I mean, we were kind of expecting it because like the tension in the room. You know, he was gonna die somehow. But and Mando looks so shocked. He's like, "Dude, we're in the middle of like a group of 100 Imperials, and you just shot their officer. Why did you do that?"
I was honestly kind of surprised. I was expecting like Valen Hess to eventually recognize Mig and then call in for reinforcements and stuff. That's what I was expecting. I was not expecting him to just.
I kind of knew it was coming because Bill Burr, Bill Burr is a comedian. He's a comic, but he did such a good job with that scene. Like his face, he looked like he was like going through trauma and like. Trying to hold back, and at the same time, you knew he was like about to break. Like it was amazing. Like I could read his face, and he was like, battling with his internal emotions and his obviously not memories that he actually has, but he played that so well. I was shocked. I was like, dude, this guy can.
Yeah, he really can.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then Valen Hirst, he goes for a toast, which is the officer for, if you don't know, you don't remember his name, guy, podcast listeners. All of you people, if you don't know the officer's name, that was Valen Hirst, is Starscream.
Valen Hirst, yes.
And so he lifts his glass for a toast, and he doesn't get it. Like, Niggs was just talking about how, like, he went through all of this trauma and how he's, like, starting to lose faith in the Empire, and this dude is like, well, that's okay, son. And he says son a lot, by the way. And he goes, for the Empire. And Niggs just up and shoots him. And I was like, dude, you cannot read a room at all. Like, you do not know what is going on there. He's like talking about his trauma from the Empire and how he's like having uncertain feelings about it, and just, you know, for the Empire. So he gets shot, and then all the troopers around him just kind of, and including Mando, just kind of look at him like, what did you just do? And then, of course, the fight ensues, which is awesome. It turns into a video game for a short amount of time. You know, they hold off the troopers. They crawl across the wall. They get up. Cara Dune and Fennec Shan snipe some troopers. They take out some gunners. Boba gets in his ship. Boba Fett. He soars down, picks up Mando. They jump aboard. Mayfeld jumps aboard. And then Mayfeld does something surprising.
He blows up the Rhydonium.
He takes a sniper rifle, aims it at the Rhydonium, and blows it up, and blowing up all of the stuff. And the reason he blew it up, which I actually forgot to go into, when they were head talking, he was talking about his whole traumatic experience, and he was like, and then the officer said, well, with the Rhydonium that you've delivered, we will be able to make that operation that you were in seem like nothing, the thousand times what the operation you were in. And that really set him off. He was like, what have I done? So he goes ahead and he shoots the Rhydonium, creating this massive explosion, blowing the Empire. Blowing the Empire's base.
Something else I liked within that whole like wall sequence was like, something that was just very funny to me was like the screams of the coastal troopers just falling off when they were getting sniped.
Do you know what that's called?
I think it's the Wilhelm scream, I think.
Scream, there we go. Yeah, it's in every single Star Wars movie. And I believe it's been in every episode of The Mandalorian. It's always put through a different filter or garbled or changed. But it's always that sound effect, and that famous sound effect from the first Star Wars movie. And so it's kind of fan service that it's put in that. It's also put in a bunch of
different movies, in the trailer for Free Guy, it was just kind of hilarious.
It was, yeah. It was. It's always fun to see it because, like, it's the little Easter eggs that they put in there. Which, another plug, on my YouTube channel, I go into all the Easter eggs for every season. Once the season ends, I go through all the Easter eggs. I did it for last season. I'm doing it again for this season. Check out Marvel News on YouTube or on BitChute. We're on both platforms since YouTube has started doing, has been doing for a long time, a bunch of crazy censorship and stuff. I'm now doing some stuff with Anchor. So Anchor is great, we're now on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Pandora, we're on all the podcasting networks that are available that have let us on, which is, I think, like, they're like 10 of them now, which is crazy. So thank you guys so much for letting us on here, and right now we're going to put a quick plug. Everybody, welcome back to Muse Live, thanks for tuning in. Today we have our guest, Starscream, here, and we're going to be talking about the into episode 7. Now, this was a crazy episode. Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. This is probably going to be one of my favorite episodes that I will rewatch over and over again. Big fan of Bill Burr. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast. He's coming on our podcast next week. Just kidding. No, he's not. I'm a big fan of Bill Burr, so it was exciting to see him on the show again. I loved his character last time, but we really got in-depth with his character, and we really got in-depth with Mando this season, too, because he was talking about how Mando kind of found out that his entire, cult, I would call it, really, because it's more of like an offsect of Mandalore, where they can't remove their helmets, and kind of to start drift away from that cult that he was kind of born into all his life. And so he spoiler alert for the episode, he removes his helmet, which was crazy to, because we saw IG-11 remove his helmet, but he removed his helmet in front of a bunch of not only I think he said living things last season. He removed his helmet in front of a bunch of Imperial officers.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was expecting like him to remove his helmet in front of, you know, like Baby Yoda, but in front of a bunch of Imperial officers. But of course, none of them lived to tell the tale. Except Miggs Mayfeld, which I'm sorry, but Miggs is such a weird name.
It really is a weird name, quite unique in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, all the Star Wars, like sometimes you get some names that are like Ben. And then you get like.
Then you just get like something weird.
Ahsoka or Rey or something, you know?
You get like something weird out there.
Yeah. Or, I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi, which, I mean, is he's probably my favorite Star Wars character. He and Mando are my two favorite Star Wars characters. And we got a big drop from Disney yesterday, I think it was. I'm going to be uploading a bunch of content to my YouTube channel, which is Marvel Muse. You can check it out there. We post Star Wars content. We have Marvel content, pretty much everything you want. We talked about Tenet a little bit on there. So just a quick plug there. We will be getting reactions to all of the trailers, the Bad Batch, announcements for all of the Marvel and Star Wars TV shows, including an Obi-Wan Kenobi series, a Cassian Andor series, who I loved, by the way. Just so much content. Completely like destroyed DC. DC was like, oh hey, look at us, we got the Batman trailer for 2021 with Robert Pattinson's Batman, which I mean I'm excited about. I'm probably gonna go see it whenever it comes out. But then Marvel kind of blew it out of the park with trailers for stuff that we had no idea was coming out. I mean, we got Bad Batch, we got a Loki trailer, we got wow, it's crazy. We got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I'm really excited about. But what we're here to talk about today is we're here to talk about the Mandalorian. So to start off the episode, as they promised last week, they go over and they recruit Bill Burr's character, Miggs Mayfeld. So Mayfeld is working in what looks to be like a shipping graveyard. So he's taking pieces apart, doing prison labor. When Cara Dune comes up and he recruits him. It's a hilarious moment. I mean, it's Bill Burr, so there's going to be a lot of funny parts of this episode. Also going to be a lot of deep parts of the episode. But anyway, so they recruit him. He sees Boba Fett and freaks out for a second, thinking he's Mando. And he's like, oh, sorry, I thought you were someone else. And then Mando comes down the platform and freaks him out. And we also got a first look at, Boba's new armor. He painted it, which there are a lot of mixed feelings about.
I honestly love the new armor. Oh god.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I think it looks awesome. Like don't get me wrong, the OG Boba, he had a couple scratches on his armor and stuff. It looked cool. The armor, which I loved, that came out of the Sarlacc, it really showed that he'd been through a lot. And now he's got like this awesome armor that's like painted anew, and I think it really reflects his identity just as much as Mando's armor did. When we first saw Mando, his armor was it was beaten up, it was scuffed, you got marks all over it. Same thing as when we first met Boba, and both of them had scuffed up armor. And then when Mando chose to go back for Baby Yoda, his armor transferred from the scuffy armor to this brand new shining like silver knight armor almost. And Boba Fett has gone from having this scuffed up armor of his scuffed past to redeeming himself when he goes to save Baby Yoda along with Mando. And so I think the armor kind of reflects their personalities in an arc that not too many people are thinking about.
Oh, and another thing I loved about the armor is like, I love how they kept the dent in Boba's helmet. I love that, how they kept the dent there.
Yeah. I wonder, there was a scrap scene from the Clone Wars series where it would have shown Boba getting in a duel with, I can't remember if it was Hondo or if it was Cad Bane.
It was Cad Bane. I saw the deleted scene. It was Cad. I saw the deleted scene.
It was Cad Bane? I had a feeling it was Cad Bane. Then Hondo popped up in my head. It's like, wait, was it him? So there was Cad Bane. Again, it made me thinking, though, because they retconned the armor to be Beskar, so would that have dented his helmet?
I...
A single blaster bolt, because, I mean, we've seen Mando take shots to his helmet. I guess it depends how pure the Beskar is in Boba's armor. You know, because Mando's armor is probably pure the Beskar.
It's probably mixed with Durasteel or some other metal.
It is, yeah. It's probably about 50-50, but
so, you know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. They're probably going to retcon how we got the dent in the helmet. I don't know if we're going to hear about it this series or anything, but going back to this, they also announced an Ahsoka series. So if any of you were worrying about the Thrawn thing and all of that, or how awesome that's going to be, it's going to be pretty awesome. I bet this is kind of a setup for Ahsoka series. It's also going to be coming out on Disney Plus. So much stuff is happening. There's also a Rogue Squadron movie coming out, directed by the daughter of a fighter pilot, which should be pretty awesome. It's Top Gun, but it's Star Wars. So that should be pretty amazing. And getting back to the episode, so we see Boba with his brand new shiny armor. They get Migs on the ship. They explain the situation. Basically, they've got to infiltrate this Empire stronghold to figure out where Moff Gideon's cruiser is, and through that, where Baby Yoda is. So they have to go in, but there has to be two people to drive these like big shipments of like some sort of explosive material, or highly flammable material. And they can't go along because it does scan your DNA, the scanners. So Migs should get in fine because he was ex-Imperial, and an ex-Imperial sharpshooter, which, as Mando pointed out a little while ago, wasn't saying much. He's going along, so he's safe. So that is one out of the two, but out of their entire group there, of course, the Empire's going to know Boba Fett, so he can't go.
Yeah, because he's a clone. So yeah, I kind of like that little detail, too, said, they'll recognize me, which is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. They might not know which clone it is, though. And I do like that. Like, I mean, we saw Rex grown up, and it was confirmed that Rex was one of the soldiers who attacked the moon of Endor, which I liked.
That was one of the better retcons, though, of the series.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And so, if you actually see, you can actually see him on the Battle of Endor. If for all of you guys looking, if you're watching the third movie, Return of the Jedi, you can see him on. You can see him in there. He's got this white beard. It's amazing. It's really awesome. And I was hoping that we might run into Rex like this season or next season, but it looks like we might see him on the Ahsoka show. Nothing's confirmed, of course, but it's possible we could see him on the Ahsoka show. Even for just a brief cameo, that would be amazing. So I will be doing a separate thing talking about all of this, talking about what this could mean. But we got to get back to the episode. So we see the only person who can really go along there, they can't do Fennec Shand, she's wanted. They obviously can't do Cara Dune, because she's a rebel and a known rebel. So the only person that can go is Mando. So Mando kind of bends the rules because he can't remove his helmet, but he kind of swaps out his helmet for another helmet. So he changes into some Imperial armor, which, I mean, the tank armor is awesome, but it's not as cool as Mando's armor. So he puts on his armor, they go along, they get in the ship, they get through everything all right. They take out the troopers, wear their armor, I don't know if it was so much as a nod, it's just a thing they did, but it's similar to the way they did it in the very first Star Wars movie, New Hope, when Han and Luke knock out the stormtroopers and put on their armor. But their armor seems to fit them fine, unlike it did to Luke, because Luke was a little too short for a stormtrooper. And so they get through all right, until they are attacked by a band of pirates.
And then we see Mando try to do the same tactic he does with his Beskar, try to block the incoming attacks, but since it's crappy stormtrooper armor, it breaks off.
Yeah. They go. He's like, oh, I'm fine, because he's so used to wearing his armor at this point. He walks up. I'm fine. He's expecting it to bounce off his shoulder.
Yeah.
The piece just like completely falls off.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. So then it really brings his OP level down a bit, and he's fighting without his Beskar armor now. So it really shows how good he is with that. And we don't see him with the Beskar spear. I would have loved it if he had brought that along, but he didn't.
Oh, and I also like. I loved like the Western with like the samurai kind of feel with the like chase with the Juggernaut. It was awesome. It was just like what we had in the Ahsoka episode.
Absolutely, yeah. With like you see like the rural village, and then you come into like the city walls, and inside there it's like a paradise.
Yeah,
they got the lake. They've got all the eastern stuff in there. And then you have like a fight over like a bridge on the water with blades, and it was slow. It wasn't like a fast like fight like we saw on Muscle.
Yeah,
it was a slow like fight, like almost like a dance like motion, which we would see in like samurai
movies. Mm-hmm, yes.
There's definitely Western elements and Eastern elements in almost all of these episodes, which I love so much. They're taking like classic things, you know, like you get your spaghetti Westerns, and they're turning it into Star Wars like future.
That's what Star Wars always was, though. It was kind of like a samurai Eastern with the Jedi and stuff, but then Western with stuff like the bounty hunters and people like that, like Boba, Bosk, and other individuals like that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's bringing us right back to what Star Wars used to be in the original trilogy, and then in the prequel trilogy, which I personally was a fan of. And if everybody hadn't been so hard on George Lucas after that, he might never have sold it to J.J. Abrams and Disney. I mean, we wouldn't have gotten The Mandalorian, so we wouldn't have gotten that awesome Disney Plus show. So it's good in a way, but we also wouldn't have gotten Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. Which I was not a fan of either of those movies. I am a massive fan of The Mandalorian, so it all worked out all right. In the prequels, it was less so of that. It was more of like a government. And I think the prequels weren't as great if you hadn't ever watched Clone Wars, which I had. Clone Wars really fixed the prequels. And I think The Mandalorian is starting to do that for the final trilogy. It's starting to fix some of the things. We see like the cloning element. And Thrawn, so Ahsoka
yeah.
and Ahsoka between the Ahsoka show and the Mando show, this should hopefully fix the last trilogy as much as possible. And I'm sure people had a reaction to this the same way when Clone Wars was going on. So I will reserve judgment for the final trilogy before after Mando and Ahsoka hopefully fix it up a bit, fix some of those plot holes. And also, I know this is off topic, but in Rise of Skywalker, when they're riding like space horses up the side of the side of its Star Destroyer, I kept thinking the entire time like they could just tilt it and this could all be over with. They just like tilt the ship a little bit and they all fall off.
Exactly. Yeah, sorry, like,
getting back on track.
Like the First Order / New Empire could have had. They had so many opportunities just end the resistance, but yet they didn't take them, and it was very foolish. And like, if you had like someone like Thrawn in there, like that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I do think Thrawn isn't going to be on the side of the Empire anymore, though. I think he's building his own legion.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not just going to have, you know, like good versus bad, which I mean I'm a big fan of, but we're also going to have like this third party here. Who's not necessarily good, but he's definitely leaning more towards bad. But it's a third enemy. It's not just the Resistance versus the Empire.
I honestly a third faction in think there. That Ron is going to build his own empire to rival Moff Gideon's Imperial Remnant. Because, like, if we all know Ron correctly, that's exactly what he'll do.
Yeah, it's almost confirmed that that's what he's going to end up.
Yeah.
Doing. I'm sorry, I'm getting way off topic here. The episode, okay, so we're getting back, so they're in there, they're fighting off the pirates. Mando and Mayfeld end up driving by a village where they are, like, they're a bunch of, like, poor starving people who are, like, under Imperial rule, and they're getting out of the way of them because they see them as Imperials and they're afraid of them. And that's when Mayfeld starts really getting through to Mando and talking about how they're kind of similar, and Mando's like, no, we're not the same. And he really starts talking about it, about how like everybody starts to bend the rules when someone important or something important is in danger. And we see Mando doing this. He changes out of his armor. He changes into another set of armor. And then later on this episode, we will see him do something even more, which if you've probably clicked on the thumbnail that I made, which is, it's not clickbait. because we do see Mando remove his helmet. So, I mean, you already know this because you've seen the thumbnail. I will get more into that later, though. So they arrive at the base after being the only shipment to get back. And then they go in, everybody's hailing them like heroes. It was uncomfortably similar to the scene when Luke Skywalker comes back in the first episode. They all like surround his ship and they're all like cheering for him and they're all like, yeah. So it was uncomfortably similar. It was a little bit weird because most of these stormtroopers and stuff, we get like yeehaws from in the final trilogy. We get yeehaws and stuff when they're killing these people. But again, I'm not defending the Empire in any way, shape, or form. But the stormtroopers, they've been brainwashed. These people have been brainwashed and propagandized into thinking that they're saving the world. They think they're on the good guy's side. They're not like, oh, look at me, I'm a bad guy. Maybe the higher up officers, like
in episode 7, like episode. when they did the cheering thing, it kind of humanized the Empire a bit. It kind of humanized them. It didn't just put them in a bad light like everything else does. It kind of gave them some personality in a way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it humanized the Empire itself, but more of the
stormtroopers themselves. Yes,
people who are, yeah, the Empire itself is an
yes,
evil group.
Very evil.
Run by people who propagandize their soldiers. So these soldiers, they're not necessarily all bad people. Maybe some of them are. I don't know. But a good portion of them must be just like propagandized people who were taught to believe that the Empire was saving them, that they were going to save people. So they go into the Empire to try and save people. And then they end up getting killed in the movies and everybody goes, whoa, you know, but they're not purely bad people. I think these people were just severely brainwashed. And so we start to see it from everybody's kind of side of view, you know, and everybody's point of view, which was interesting. We go, so we enter the building, Bando and Mayfeld. I'm going to call him Din Djarin because I think Din Djarin is a cool name. I've been calling him Mando out of habit, but Din Djarin's a cool name. We learned it like 2 years ago or something, or a year ago. So I should finally start calling him Din Djarin. So Din and Mayfeld enter the building. They're about to go in the computer terminals in the mess hall, or for those of you who don't know military terms, the mess hall is kind of like a cafeteria, a place where they go to eat food. And so the computer's right there. So they go over to the computer. But Mayfeld can't go in. So Mando freaks out. He's like, why can't you go in? And then he points, because his old commanding officer from when he was in the Imperial military is sitting there. So talk about bad luck. Like, geez, out of all the Imperial officers, that one that was his commanding officer is right there. And so Mando has to go in. But the thing is that he has to, the machine has to scan your face for you to be able to get into the mainframe. So Mando tries scanning the helmet, which doesn't work. The computer starts the shutdown, the 10-second shutdown. He then removes his helmet. And before he walks over to the machine, tries to scan the helmet, he like starts to like take it off and then he like yanks his hand out like, no. So you can tell that he's really like fighting internally between his love for Baby Yoda and the cult that he'd kind of been born into, you know? And so he removes his helmet and we see Pedro Pascal's beautiful, handsome face. I'm not a simp. I just think he looks awesome. And it was so, so good. But the entire, like, and he scans his face and he finds the Imperial ship. And then an uncomfortable tension settles over the room as the Imperial officer says, hey, Trooper. And you get this uncomfortable tension that you felt in so many Westerns, and it was done masterfully. They're having this conversation. Mayfeld comes over to Mando's rescue, explains that Mando is a little bit slow because he's like a pressure loss in his ship or something. I'm not entirely sure what exactly he said, but basically kind of gave Mando an excuse because Mando's feeling very vulnerable without very exposed without his helmet on.
Oh, and another detail I liked about Mando taking his helmet off is I loved how he looked physically uncomfortable. Like, his face, it was just spot on. Perfect.
Like, amazing. The actor, Pedro Pascal, he's an amazing actor, and he can do so many things with his face, which is why I really want him to take off his helmet, because he can convey so many emotions. He's so good at that. And he's trained for, like, years with the staff, which is why I was so excited when he got that spear. Because I was like, finally, we can get to see this guy go into action, because they don't use the stunt double for that. Like, he was in Game of Thrones which I haven't watched, but he was like amazing. He's amazing with the staff, and oh, fighting and
I,
the staff.
Another thing I liked about this whole sequence with Val and Hess is I liked how the officer had a southern accent when we know like most Imperials have an English accent a bit. So it was kind of a unique twist. And it's very frightening, very terrifying in a way, and very cool.
Yeah, I'm from the South, so it's a little bit harder for me to discern it. I personally don't have a Southern accent. You can tell when someone really has a Southern accent, but he did have a slight Southern accent. And it was really hard for me to tell. And then rewatching it, I was like, yeah, he does have a Southern accent, because there was something like off about his voice. It was like he's not speaking in Imperial voice, you know, because you're so used to them all being like having that English accent, and then one of them just like it was kind of a shock, because you were like, whoa, he sounds different, you know, and it really added to the tension, because the entire tension, like you feel in Westerns, he sits down, they're all like kind of talking, they're having a conversation, but there's like a slight score, and kudos to the score for this, the composer, he was like an eerie tension, because you knew there was about to be violence, but you're just waiting for it, and it's not quite there yet, and you're waiting wondering when it's going to happen, and then it does happen. But he talks about they start talking about Operation Cinder when they have to go in there, and and we really go into Miggs Mayfeld here, and Mayfeld is talking about was it how all of his people were killed when Operation Cinder left. He was the only one left alive in his platoon, which has got to be horrible, horrifying. And he was like, well, it was good for the Empire. It was like the greater good. And he's like, but was it good? Was it good for the men, for the families? Was it good for them? You know, and really showing that that's when he broke off from the Empire, because he couldn't go back in what he'd seen, you know, and he saw through the midst of all that propaganda, he saw the Empire for what it really was. And that was such a powerful and moving moment.
And then
to follow it up, like this dude wouldn't just
couldn't and then get once we, it. Did not get and then it once like we progress more after he's talking about his past with Operation Cinder and all those lives lost, we get kind of an unexpected turn with Miggs pulling out his blaster for when Valen Hess goes for a toast. He shoots Valen Hess right in the chest, killing him.
And you can nobody was. I mean, we were kind of expecting it because like the tension in the room. You know, he was gonna die somehow. But and Mando looks so shocked. He's like, dude, we're in the middle of like a group of 100 Imperials, and you just shot their officer. Why did you do that?
I was honestly kind of surprised. I was expecting like Valen Hess to eventually recognize Meg and then call in for reinforcements and stuff. That's what I was expecting. I was not expecting him to just.
I kind of knew it was coming because Bill Burr, Bill Burr's a comedian. He's a comic, but he did such a good job with that scene. Like his face, he looked like he was like going through trauma and like. Trying to hold back, and at the same time, you knew he was like about to break. Like it was amazing. Like I could read his face, and he was like battling with his internal emotions and not memories that he actually has, but he played that so well. I was shocked. I was like, dude, this guy can.
Yeah, he really can.
It was amazing. And then Valen Hurst, he goes for a toast, which is the officer for if you don't know, you don't remember his name, guy podcast listeners. All of you people, if you don't know the officer's name, that was Valen Hurst is Starscream.
Valen Hess, yes.
And so he lifts his glass for a toast, and he doesn't get it. Like Miggs was just talking about how like he went through all of this trauma and how he's like starting to lose faith in the Empire, and this dude is like, well, that's okay, son. And he says son a lot, by the way. And he goes for the Empire, and Miggs just up and shoots him. And I was like, dude, you cannot read a room at all. Like, you do not know what is going on there. He was, like, talking about his trauma from the Empire and how he's, like, having uncertain feelings about it and just, you know, for the Empire. So he gets shot, and then all the troopers around him just kind of, including Mando, just kind of look at him like, what did you just do? And then, of course, the fight ensues, which is awesome. It turns into a video game for a short amount of time, you know. They hold off the troopers. They crawl across the wall. They get up. Cara Dune and Fennec Shand snipe some troopers. They take out some gunners. Boba gets in his ship. Boba Fett. He soars down, picks up Mando. They jump aboard. Mayfeld jumps aboard, and then Mayfeld does something surprising.
He blows up the Rhydonium.
He takes a sniper rifle, aims it at the Rhydonium, and blows it up. Blowing up all of the stuff, and the reason he blew it up, which I actually forgot to go into, when they were head talking, he was talking about his whole traumatic experience, and he was like, then the officer said, well, with the Rhydonium that you've delivered, we will be able to make that operation that you were in seem like nothing, the thousand times what the operation you were in, and that really set him off. He was like, what have I done? So he goes ahead and he shoots the Rhydonium, creating this massive explosion, blowing the Empire.
Oh, no.
Blowing to Empire's
base. Something else I liked within that whole like wall sequence was like, something that was just very funny to me was like the screams of the coastal troopers just falling off when they were getting sniped.
Do you know what that's called?
I think it's the Wilhelm scream.
Scream. There we go. Yeah, it's in every single Star Wars movie. And I believe it's been in every episode of The Mandalorian. It's always put through a different filter or garbled or changed. But it's always that sound effect, and that famous sound effect from the first Star Wars movie. And so it's kind of fan service that it's put in that. It's also put in a bunch of
different movies, like in the trailer for Free Guy. It was just kind of hilarious.
It was, yeah. It's always fun to see it because like it's the little Easter eggs that they put in there. Which another plug. On my YouTube channel, I go into all the Easter eggs for every season. Once the season ends, I go through all the Easter eggs. I did for last season. I'm doing it again for this season. Check out Marvel News on YouTube or on BitChute. We're on both platforms since YouTube has been doing for a long time a bunch of crazy censorship and stuff. I'm now doing some stuff with Anchor. So Anchor is great. And we're now on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Pandora. We're on all the podcasting networks that are available that have let us on, which is, I think like they're like 10 of them now, which is crazy. So thank you guys so much for letting us on here. And right now we're going to put a quick plug